Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
The mother of a young man who was killed in a hit and run is urging the government to introduce stiffer sentences for dangerous driving causing death. 21-year-old Dylan Killily Marr died in Dublin in 2023 after Cameron Cooper hit him while driving at twice the speed limit. Cooper was sentenced to 4 years, 3 months imprisonment, and the Director of Public Prosecutions recently decided not to appeal this sentence. Our reporter Barry Lenahan has more on this and is with me now. Barry, this report does contain some distressing and graphic details, we must warn listeners. So you've been speaking with Dylan's mother, Catherine.
Yeah, and Catherine Killily believes the sentence handed down to her son's killer was unduly lenient. She outlined her grief to Oliver Callan on this station a few months ago, but is speaking again this evening, Cormac, as she was recently told the DPP won't be appealing the sentence imposed on 23-year-old Cameron Cooper. And we met in her living room in Coolock.
This living room is like a shrine to my son. We have photographs. I have a Mother's Day card that he made in creche, actually, when he was 3 years old. I still have that card here. I have his trophies. I have candles. This is my bit of comfort. I get no comfort going to his grave. No comfort whatsoever. I barely visit his grave. I just can't bring myself to visit his grave and look at his photograph and his name and his age, 21 years of age. It's just not right. My living room is dedicated to my son. It's just like a shrine, and it's, you know, it's some days I can sit here and some days I can't. That's what my living room is now. That's all we have left of our son is a shrine, his photographs and memories. That's all we have left.
What do some of those photographs tell us about Dylan?
Dylan was a great young lad. He loved his brothers and sisters. He loved myself and his father. A great hard worker, and his whole life ahead of him. He's nearly finishing his apprenticeship. He's 6 weeks left and passing it and celebrating with him, and we just never got to do that, you know.
Picture there with his granny as well, your mother, who he would have looked after.
Yeah, he did. He looked after her. But, you know, he stayed around with his nanny. She loved him for that, you know. She's gone downhill ever since. Like us all, we've all gone downhill, you know. We've really hard, and I find it very hard to go around and look at Mam. Like, Mam only lives 2 blocks away from me here. When I go around to Mam's house, my family home of 45 years is still there. Mam is still there, and I find it really difficult to go around and visit Mam. Go into the house, and that's where, you know, Dylan had his own bedroom upstairs for when he stayed during the week, and his coat still hangs on the stairs, you know, his work jacket, as it does in my own stairs. His work coat hangs there, and he never got to put his work jacket back on.
On Saturday the 12th of November 2023, Dylan Killily Marr went for a night out with friends. They were headed for a nightclub at the Red Cow Hotel. Now, Dylan went to retrieve a jacket from the boot of his friend's car. At this point, Cameron Cooper was driving at around 120 kilometres per hour in a 60 kilometre per hour area when the car he was driving smashed into Dylan. He fled the scene, and Dublin Circuit Criminal Court heard how, instead of seeking help, Cooper called emergency services, falsely telling Gardaí his car had been stolen in an attempt to avoid blame. 2 hours later, he presented himself to a Garda station, and Dylan was left with catastrophic injuries and a warning. His mother, Catherine, describes them in graphic detail.
Just crushed him to death, basically. He left him with 65 fatal injuries, 2 amputated legs, and he absolutely left him in a horrible state and ran. It was absolutely devastating. How could you leave somebody like that, you know? You wouldn't leave an animal on the road like that, you know? I was told my son died instantly, which I only found out on the day, of course, that he didn't die instantly, that he had a faint pulse, you know, stabbing the heart all over again, you know? And I just thought my son in pain, and he felt everything. That all went through my head, and it really messed with my head an awful lot, and it still does to this day. It messes with my head an awful lot, you know? That, did he suffer? Did he feel anything, you know? I was told he died instantly, and he didn't die instantly. He had a treading pulse, and they left him.
You arrive at the scene ultimately, and Dylan is there, and you want to hold him and tell him everything is going to be okay. What happened?
We just went past the tent, and he was just lying there on the ground with a sheet up to his chest, blood pouring from his head. You know, I just wanted to lay down beside him, hold him, and I asked the girl, I said, can I give him a kiss? Can I give him a kiss on the cheek, or can I hold his hand? And she looked at Forensic, and Forensic shook their head, and he said, no, I just took her as it was, and I just said to him, I just wanted this person caught. I wanted justice done. We didn't get justice for Dylan. I could have stayed there and kicked and screamed until I got to hold my son, but I didn't. I said to myself, right, we leave them, we left Forensics, get on with their job, you know, and get this person caught and get justice for their son. Looking at my son just lying there on the ground, I just wanted to hold him, wish him back to life, basically, you know.
You had faith in the justice system at that point.
Yeah, I did. And that's why I left it. As I said, I could have kicked and screamed that night that I want to hold my son. But I had faith. I said, we'll let Forensics get on with their job and we'll get justice. We'll get justice for our son. And we didn't. We didn't get justice at all for our son.
Barry, Catherine Killalee says there her family never got justice for what happened to Dylan. What happened in court earlier this year?
So in March, Cameron Cooper was jailed for 4 years and 3 months. He ultimately pleaded guilty for dangerous driving causing death a year after the accident. He also pleaded guilty to driving with no insurance, making a false report of a crime and failing to offer assistance at the scene. Judge Ronan Munro also disqualified him from driving for 9 years. But from the moment they left the court, the Killalee Mars expressed their upset at Cameron Cooper's sentence. Catherine was also upset to learn of the full extent of Dylan's injuries in an open court rather than in a more private setting.
We were told nothing about Dylan's case. We were told nothing. And all the guards kept saying was, we don't want to jeopardise the case. We don't want to jeopardise the case. And I took that as well. There could have been information that we were told. I could have been told my son's injuries. And I wasn't. I wasn't told until the day of sentencing. Day of sentence, I was told he'd 65 fatal injuries. He'd major trauma to the head. He'd 2 amputated legs. And I just crumbled. I crumbled. I screamed. I shouted. I held that courtroom down. And I had to be... family members had to hold me in the seat in court, and the judge had to adjourn the court, you know. And I thought that was very wrong. I should have been told beforehand of my son's injuries. It was horrific listening to that about your own son, your own baby. I know he was 21, but he could be 41 and he'd be still my baby, you know. It's something that'll traumatise me.
4 years and 3 months was the sentence imposed. Yeah. When you heard that, what did you think?
I thought it was disgraceful. All his charges amounted to over 11 years. And the highest sentence for death by dangerous driving is 10 years. And all his charges amount to over 11 years. The judge went from giving the highest scale of sentencing and gave him the lowest scale of sentence. So how can you go from the highest to the lowest? You know, gave him time off for an early guilty plea. He pleaded guilty a year later after he was presented with the book of evidence. And then to get time off for that, but to still only get 4 years and 3 months is just, it's a disgrace, an absolute insult to the family.
Was it a surprise?
It was a surprise. I thought he would have got a lot more than that. You know, he's doing over twice the speed limit. Once you get into a car, you're driving a killing machine. And then you're in that car and you go up, once you go over twice the speed limit, you're out to kill. You're out to kill someone. You are going to kill someone if you go over the speed limit.
You said on the steps of the courthouse afterwards that you felt that Dylan's life had been trivialised by that sentence.
Yeah, an absolute insult to my son. He deserved better than that. He didn't live his life. He was only 21. And never, ever did we expect this to land on their doorstep. Never.
Catherine Killalee spoke of her strong hope when she was on this station before that the Director of Public Prosecution would appeal the leniency of Cameron Cooper's sentence. What ultimately did the DPP decide, Barry?
In a letter to the Killalee Mar family, the DPP confirmed Cormac how it considered whether to appeal Cooper's sentence on the grounds of undue leniency. However, it said, following a careful analysis of the facts of the case, the approach of the sentencing judge, the views of senior counsel, and after considering case law, it didn't identify any error in principle in this case, and so the decision was taken not to appeal.
I set up a petition, an online petition, to say that the sentence that was handed down to Cameron Cooper was wrong. You know, it was too lenient. We got over 3,000 signatures from everyone agreeing with us that the sentence that Cameron Cooper got for killing Dylan was too lenient. And we got over 3,000 signatures from everyone all over the world, handed them in with the appeal. We're still let down.
You had a real sense of hope, I think, that the DPP would appeal the sentence.
I did. I had hope because a lot of people agreed with myself and my family that the sentence handed down was just an absolute disgrace. It was so wrong. He was up on 6 charges. We handed that sentence down. It was just an absolute kick in the teeth. What's this sending out to drivers? You know, you go, you killed someone. What you'll get? 4 years. You'll be out in 3. The family impact statements we gave, you know, it's just a lot of us have been left heartbroken. And I don't think the justice system will actually realise how effective it is on the grieving family until they go through it themselves. His family get to his visits. They'll get their phone calls. Do I get me visits? No. I have to go to a bloody grave to visit my son. I don't get a phone call from my son. We didn't get to say goodbye. I never got to say goodbye. Never got to hold my son's hand. You know, it's just wrong. The whole system is wrong.
I know Dylan's death has had an extraordinary impact on you and all the family. Did this decision exacerbate that again?
It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. We suffer every day, you know. I could be sitting at the kitchen table in the middle of eating my dinner and I will burst out crying. Like, grief is the most sneakiest emotion ever, feeling ever. I could be in the middle of work and something just enters my head. My son just enters my head. A memory enters my head. I'm just struck down with grief and I just feel like collapsing to the floor. It's like I'm the ghost. I'm the one that's floating around. I'm not living. I just exist. And I don't know what way I'm going to wake up in the mornings. My son never leaves my mind. Never leaves me mind. I just think about him all the time and all the court case, everything. And I'm full of loads of emotions all going at once in my head. It's horrible. Cameron Kubo, he took my son. He took everything. He killed him. And we'll forever grieve for him. We will never forget. We'll never forget this. Never.
What do the Killaly Mar family want to see now, Barry?
The Killaly Mars are one of a number of grieving families to lose a loved one in a fatal road traffic incident and express upset at the subsequent sentence, including but not limited to the family of Kieran Keating after the driver was given a 17-month suspended sentence for careless driving causing death, or the family of Joe Drennan after the driver was given a 6.5-year sentence for dangerous driving causing death to run concurrently with a sentence for a drive-by shooting. But Catherine Killaly, she'll be part of a delegation from the Park Road Safety Group to meet Cabinet Minister for Road Transport, Sean Canney, this Wednesday, when she'll make a direct appeal to increase the maximum sentence for dangerous driving causing death from 10 to 14 years.
Looking for a higher sentence. Like, the most sentence you get for death by dangerous driving is 10 years. No one ever gets that. Nobody has ever got 10 years. So we're looking for a higher sentence to in line with Northern Ireland and England. And 14 years, they're 14 years. So we're looking for the higher scale of sentencing to be brought for death by dangerous driving in.
What difference would stiffer sentences mean?
The family gets some sort of, I know it'll never bring your loved one back, but some sort of justice. Like, you know, your children's lives, your family members, your loved one's life is worth a hell of a lot more than that, let me tell you.
Cameron Cooper received a 9-year driving ban, which kicked into effect from that day the sentence was imposed. Yeah. And that's something else you want looked at going forward.
I want to highlight it. Like, 9 years, he got banned from driving for 9 years, which starts the day of sentencing. Why does it start the day of sentencing? How can he drive a car if he is locked up in prison? That is absolutely ridiculous that the driving ban starts the day you start your sentencing. So I want to highlight that as well, that driving ban should start the day of you are released from prison, not the day you're sentenced to go into prison where you can't drive a car. That's absolutely ridiculous. But what's the point in banning them and the ban starting the day of prison?
You're also looking for stricter enforcement, more resources and more education as well.
Yeah, we're looking for more education, for families to be educated, for drivers, for learner drivers. Like, you see it every day yourself. They're going hell for leather on the roads and people do not care anymore driving. Flying by you in the bus lanes, they're flying by you. They're overtaking you. They have no consideration for other people, for other drivers or pedestrians on the road, you know, and something has to be brought in. You have to make an example. So it has to start somewhere.
Ultimately, this could require a legislative change to bring in greater sentences. What would your message to them be?
Put yourself in their shoes. If that was one of your loved ones that you lost and this was a sentence handed down and you had to go through all these court dates, and put yourself in their shoes and fight for your community, get tougher sense and communicate with people, you know, go and visit people who have lost loved ones to death by dangerous driving, you know, and fight for them, fight for justice for them, help them out. That's what we're looking for, help.
Put yourself in our shoes, so says Catherine Killaly, ending Barry Lenehan's report. Well, in a statement at Drive Time, a spokesperson for the Department of Transport said the penalty for dangerous driving causing death or serious bodily harm to another person is imprisonment for a term not exceeding 10 years or to a fine not exceeding 20,000 euros or both. The department said the penalty reflects the serious nature of the crime. The department also confirmed it's progressing a new road traffic bill to support programme for government commitments around road safety, including in relation to the penalty point system, and it will hold consultations on this, they say. Separately, a spokesperson for the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions, the DPP, they said with regard to cases involving fatalities, the Gorda Síochána appoints a family liaison officer who provides guidance and support to help victims and family members victims through court proceedings. The DPP did add how the pre-trial meeting is also the time when its counsel would advise family members of victims of any potentially distressing detail which might emerge in court. It added how, following conviction, where sentence is handed down and a decision is made by the office of the DPP not to appeal that sentence, then an offer may also be made to a victim or a victim's family to have a meeting with the prosecutor, the Gardaí and the council to explain that decision. Now, if you have been impacted by that story by Barry Lenehan, you can get in touch on this topic by emailing drivetime@rte.ie.